A few weeks ago, when Tylisa Johnson saw an open letter on the internet from black employees at the Free Library of Philadelphia, she tweeted it out. Tylisa recently left her job covering the library for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Here's what she wrote.
I know it's not my beat anymore, but Philly libraries will always hold a special place in my heart. And thus, I've decided to use my journalist platform to elevate an open letter from concerned black workers at the Free Library that's been circulating. And then I put the link.
The letter was one of two documents floating around social media complaining about conditions at the library. This one, from the concerned black workers of the Free Library, pointed to what they called racism in the workplace and demanded change. The other was a petition from a group of unionized employees expressing no confidence in library leadership. Tylisa's tweet made it to prominent authors like Pulitzer Prize winner Colson Whitehead, who canceled speaking engagements at the library. To date, six authors have canceled their events. Amid reopening concerns and protests against police brutality and racism, library employees are calling out managers. What's going on at the library? And why did current events reveal employees' deep mistrust of their leadership? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Tylisa joined me to talk about the history of complaints among library employees. Later, I'll talk with WHYY reporter Miles Bryan about how these petitions are playing out. Tylisa, when all these authors, including Colson Whitehead, canceled their events, what was your reaction?
As a journalist and as a local reporter, it was really cool to see that, you know, I was still able to help elevate voices beyond traditional story form and, you know, not even being in Philly anymore. And so it was definitely a testament, I think, to the strength of social media, hearing from authors directly and, you know, being able to hear from hundreds and hundreds of people that they were able to learn something from this Twitter thread that I did was just like, it was amazing. So that was my reaction.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
So let's go back a little bit. Where does this story really start for you?
So for me, I began covering libraries in the fall of 2018, and around early 2019, I started hearing from some sources that the library had, there was a survey that was posted on an internal forum asking staffers if they'd experienced or observed bias or discrimination at the library, and a few hours later, at the request of Library President Siobhan Reardon, it was taken down. After they took it down, you know, there was internal outrage, and I was obviously very interested. The union got involved, and in March of 2019, the survey was reposted. This time, it received nearly double the responses. It was more than 100.
And can you just describe what some of those were? Like, what are some incidents that came out there?
Right. So, you know, one that really sticks out is there was a white female supervisor who told someone that she wished that she were black and gay because she thought that it would make her more promotable. That was something that someone wrote in the survey that I received. And, you know, there were other comments about people not taking conversations about race seriously or blowing them off. Instances of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia and transphobic issues and, you know, queerphobic issues and a lot of these different things that were raised in the survey.
Yeah. And just backing up a little bit, what is the sort of racial makeup of the library staff across the system?
So in 2018, the system had, you know, about 803 employees. About 460 of them were librarians. Now, the library administration often tout, you know, a largely minority staff because 391 of their employees are black. But payroll data shows that minorities tended to be in subordinate or, you know, maintenance roles such as guard roles or being library assistants.
Does the library have a history of the kinds of complaints that came out in this survey?
Yes. And, you know, when it comes to these complaints, it's really not just about racial bias and discrimination. I learned that there are court records that show, you know, 3 complaints filed against the library. Each of them alleged discrimination and harassment, but those were related to gender or sexual orientation. Still, those cases acknowledged a failure to stop harassment by management. And, you know, in some cases, management retaliated instead. And so a lawyer that I spoke to about one of the cases, the case of Bobby Burnett, you know, who filed a suit and ended up receiving the settlement, the lawyer said that every time Bobby complained about discrimination or something happening, she was just shuffled around the system to different branches, and the issue itself was never really dealt with. And so that was in 2015, and it just kind of shows you that this has been happening for a while.
So these complaints come forward in this survey. What was Siobhan Reardon and the kind of library executive staff, what was the response at the time?
So at the time, you know, in a statement, Siobhan called the responses deeply concerning and said that, you know, the library strives to prioritize diversity and inclusion. And this is a quote, takes any incidents or behavior that conflict with that very seriously.
How do you think that response was received by people who were making complaints?
People were disappointed. It was kind of disheartening to see that they say that they take it very seriously, and then to know that people have had incidents that haven't been taken care of.
Did any of this conflict sort of make it outside of the library system? Did anyone else ever hear about the complaints?
Yes, actually. So, you know, the complaints, the survey results were taken to Philadelphia City Council members, multiple, you know, including Cindy Bass and Councilwoman Blondell Reynolds Brown. So those were the 2 councilwomen who ended up confronting Siobhan Reardon, the library president, at the 2019 budget hearing.
You need to do more. You need to do better. Or we need to get somebody who's going to do more and do better. That's no disrespect on you, but this is a city that's funded with taxpayers of all colors, all shades, and if we don't see that there is something that needs to happen to be respectful of them, then we need somebody who understands what is important to all colors, all communities, all people, all faith. You know, it's not just one individual. So
Siobhan says, you know, Councilwoman Bass, you have to know,
we are deeply committed to this. It is a priority for this organization.
And almost immediately, Cindy Bass replies and is like, I can't tell.
Based on what you've given me and your response, I can't tell that you are deeply committed to anything related to diversity and inclusion. And show and prove, you know, like show me what you got. Show me what you're going to do. Don't just talk to me about it. Show me. Before the end of this budget cycle, show me.
And so I was, you know, sitting in the room at that moment, and the room, it was just very, like, everyone was leaned in. You know, it was one of those moments where everyone is leaned in, waiting for what happens next. And it was just so illuminating because, you know, Cindy Bass at the time was saying that she didn't have confidence in the leadership on these issues. So for this to be resurfacing a year later, it's almost like, you know, we in some ways could have seen it coming.
Do you think, was that moment surprising for people, like people who had not been paying really close attention to what was going on at the libraries?
I think it was. I think no one had been looking at the libraries for a really long time. I think people just kind of thought, oh, you know, libraries, like they're kind of a staple of our communities. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they become almost invisible to us. And so I think for so long, people weren't even like, they couldn't even imagine that there would be these kinds of issues in a place that's supposed to be, you know, for all people.
So this all happened last year. You're now at Public Source, it's a news organization in Pittsburgh. When did you next hear about this new round of kind of complaints at the library?
So on June 25th, I think it was the day after my birthday, a source reached out on Twitter and was just like, hey, we created this and published this open letter, and it's about a failure to protect, you know, Black lives and a failure to protect its Black workers' lives. Now, immediately, I'm like, my eyebrow is raised. Mm. They've piqued my interest. I'm like, what do you mean a failure to protect Black lives?
Yeah, and what did they mean?
Well, I think first they were referring to the racial discrimination, you know, the routinely experienced forms of workplace bias that they feel like they are experiencing, you know, especially staffing placement. That's a big one. You know, library administration, like I said earlier, often tout a largely minority staff, but the data shows that minorities tend to be in these subordinate roles. And so because of this, they're most vulnerable during COVID because these roles are the positions that are most front facing, right? They're the people that when you walk into the library, they're at the front desk. You know, they're the guards that greet you at the door. And so because of this, they're extra vulnerable. So, you know, they sent the letter and they just asked if I could do anything about it.
Yeah. And then you posted this and it sort of, we know what sort of happened from there. Why do you think it sort of made it up to the level of these sort of prominent figures who took notice of it?
Well, you know, we're in a very large moment right now. This is a moment of reckoning for a lot of institutions, a lot of systems. And historically, the response from the library has been a lack of response when it came to discrimination and harassment. So I think, you know, it was only a matter of time basically before the pimple came to a head. And I think these days, people's patience is running very thin and lives are at stake, right? When we're talking about COVID-19, lives are at risk. And so I think that created an urgency around the news that the library administration could possibly not be protecting their Black workers.
Tylisa, thank you for talking to me and for laying all this out.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Shai.
When we come back...
There was a pretty general frustration with the condition of the library branches that people were being asked to return to. And it seemed like workers were freaked out about being there.
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. WHYY reporter Miles Bryan has been covering the two petitions from library workers, both the one Tylisa was just talking about and another one from union workers. So we've heard a little about this one petition, Miles. Can you just walk us through both of them and what they say?
So the first one came out a few days before folks returned to work, and that was the open letter from Black workers of the Free Library. And so this was a group that basically called out what they see as racism in the workplace, systemic inequity, and discrimination, and asked that the library do a series of things to try and address that, address the racism, and also address the inequity in, you know, positions of staff, in salaries of white staff versus people of color. And then a couple days after that, a different letter came out. That was a petition expressing a vote of no confidence in library president and director Siobhan Reardon and her team. And that was put together by the union that many of the library workers are part of. And that had kind of a wide-ranging set of concerns. You know, it noted a lack of a COVID-19 safety plan and concerns about adequate PPE and, you know, folks feeling like they weren't in a safe position to return to library branches. It noted solidarity with their Black colleagues and demand that their Black colleagues' demands for addressing racism and inequity be dealt with. It noted a lack of investment in digital technology and in that infrastructure. And it also noted just some concern that employees had that library management had cooperated with the National Guard and allowed the National Guard to shelter at a branch for a couple of days during the protests in early June.
And you mentioned some concerns about returning to work. Some library employees did return to work a couple weeks ago after working from home during the pandemic. It didn't seem like that went smoothly, right?
There was a lot of complaints about the state of the branches they were returning to. I talked to one librarian, Sunita Balija.
I've been a librarian within the city for about year and a half.
You know, by the time I talked to her, a couple hours into the workday, she'd actually been sent home because the AC was broken and it was too hot to even be there.
And as it turns out, we found out that there's something like really, really wrong with it. So we're not going to have air conditioning in this building for the foreseeable future.
But when she was there, she said there wasn't enough face masks for her and her colleagues to work together there safely.
And there are people who are reporting that their products are expired. Their hand sanitizers are expired as of like months ago. You know, they had 14 weeks, over 100 days to kind of like plan this out better.
I also talked to a union steward, Adam Feldman, who let me in on what was happening on the listserv that employees were using to share conditions and complaints. And, you know, it sounded pretty rough.
People are worried about everything from like the materials they have to maintain their own personal work areas. We're seeing a lack of masks. Sometimes masks aren't found right away.
I saw one complaint that was noted that there were ants running around all the walls.
But people, I think more broadly, that I work with have just been really concerned that we haven't gotten what seems like a professional, well-designed, well-thought-out safety plan.
And it seemed like workers were freaked out about being there.
And what's been the response so far from the library's leadership?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think the day after the second petition came out, library leadership held a virtual town hall.
Hello, everyone. I think we have a little bit of an echo.
Which I was actually able to discreetly watch.
Everyone, please mute.
Muted.
And Siobhan Reardon.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone.
You know, basically said that she had received the concerns of the Black workers.
I did send a note to the Black workers of Free Library. I did get a response just a little while ago. They choose not to meet with me right now.
Which I did confirm with the Black workers group, who said that they didn't want a meeting. They wanted a written plan, which she did not sort of respond to one way or another during the town hall. Reardon said that she had asked the Board of Trustees Committee on Diversity to put together a diversity town hall sometime in the near future. And then most of the town hall was about safety concerns.
I did respond to the request for a town hall on public health to answer safety questions.
So it was a lot of very granular, you know, sorry about the expired supplies and we're going to get you new stuff soon. But, you know, the workers I talked to who watched it and you know, are invested in this thing, we're not happy. They didn't feel like their overarching concerns were met. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, Siobhan Reardon is coming under a lot of fire here from a wide swath of library employees and now prominent authors who are declining to continue with their events. And at least at this event, she didn't get up and say, you know, I see you, I hear you. She didn't really sort of meet the moment in that way. She handled it pretty technically, I thought. You know, we're going to have another meeting to deal with these concerns, and for now, let's just talk about the safety stuff.
And what do we know about what comes next? I mean, libraries aren't actually open to the public yet, right?
Yeah, libraries are not open to the public, and it's unclear when patrons will be going back into libraries. It came up at that town hall, and I think the answer was essentially, we won't even consider letting folks back in until we can make sure our staff are totally safe. And with COVID cases going up, and at least a lot of parts of the country, it seems like that might be a while. I do believe that drop-off and pickup is open for patrons to use the library.
So the library is dealing with issues of safety, complaints of discrimination, and just a general mistrust of leadership. Why does it seem like this is all boiling over right now?
I talked to one worker, Peter Santamaria. He's a union steward, and he's been at the library for about a decade. And he said,
I would say it's the breaking point at this point. I think, you know, the pandemic, if anything, has just brought everything up again to the very top. And it's just like, we've had enough.
Things had been bad before the pandemic, but the pandemic has really exacerbated a lot of the frustrations he's had for years. He said communication from the administration has been pretty much non-existent, and that they weren't going to be able to continue to function with the administration as it is.
This is not anything that's new. These are things that get brought up, and we've sounded the alarm many times in the past, and our concerns go unanswered, management won't meet with us.
But I also, something that I've been thinking about, you know, reporting on this, is that the reactions folks are having in this debate over the future of the library kind of, to me at least, partially echo what we're seeing more broadly, where people are demanding change from institutions and powerful people, and sort of no longer willing to wait or play by the rules set by those in power.
Miles, thank you.
Thank you.
Miles Bryan is a reporter for WHYY. Tylisa Johnson used to cover libraries for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Now she's a reporter at Public Source in Pittsburgh. On Friday, Library Director Siobhan Reardon wrote an email to workers. Regarding the authors who canceled their appearances, Reardon said, quote, "While these cancellations are disappointing, we understand and accept the reasonings behind them." She went on to ask workers to fill out a survey on diversity that's been circulated to the staff, and said that, quote, "We are working toward ensuring the safety and security concerns of our Black and brown, as well as other vulnerable staff, are addressed." The Y is produced by Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene San. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.